fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We've got some wonderful passages this week from the scripture that the church gives us in the daily readings for Mass. Part of Paul's journey being taken through 2 Corinthians, and it's a letter in which Paul talks a great deal about suffering and consolation and the trials that he endures as a disciple, but there's key themes in it, like God's comfort in the midst of our affliction, that affliction and suffering and trials are the normal fare of what happens to a disciple, what it means to walk in the footsteps of Jesus in a fallen world. And I'm always struck by how dramatic and deep and almost overwhelming Paul's suffering and experience has been, but he never really talks about it like that ultimately. Like, he relates to this amazing lifestyle that the Lord has led him into and the dramatic opposition that comes against him as he goes forward to fulfill God's purpose in his life to proclaim the gospel as an apostle. And he really does experience trial and affliction as a kind of constant experience of life, but he looks upon it as a time for great grace. He looks upon it as an expression of God's will and purpose for him, that he finds comfort in it, and his own weakness is manifested in the midst of it all. But in the midst of that weakness, there's this amazing paradox that he encounters and he shares with us as we read it, and I think attempts to encourage us to look at our own lives in this way. As we face trials for the sake of the gospel, that it may manifest our weakness. We may not be able to accomplish everything the way we want to accomplish things, and we might get real pushback in our life or to actually literally suffer for the sharing and spreading of the gospel. But Paul says, your weakness will be manifested in that moment, but understand that God's power is made perfect in our weakness. So I want to look at some of the passages where Paul describes his own experience and then maybe reflect on it this week about what Paul can teach us in our own lives as we're living in this apostolic moment in the life of the church, a moment when we're being called really by the Lord himself through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the leaders of the church that remind us by virtue of our baptism and confirmation, we are, as Pope Francis articulated so passionately in Evangelii Gaudium, that each one of us who's been baptized has been born into mission. I am a mission in this world, he said. We ought to be able to declare and to understand ourselves as being branded and sealed by the Holy Spirit, by God himself, set apart by the Lord to walk with him in this mission of extending his kingdom and the offer of the forgiveness of sins and salvation and entering into the life of the church as a fundamental part of why each and every person baptized into Christ, what our life is to be characterized by. We may not see that. We may not understand ourselves. As I think sometimes in the Catholic Church, it's easy to see that somehow the work of the pastor, the priest, is the work of the gospel. And my job is just to, you know, get a job in the world, be faithful to what I'm supposed to be doing, raise my family, but it's not really extending the kingdom, or it's not really engaging directly in the mission of the Lord. And I think the church has worked so hard over the last four decades to help us understand that's a skewed view of who we are. Our home is our mission field. Our workplace is a place where we're meant to be a light and salt and to be led by the Holy Spirit to be that light, both through the excellence of what we do, you know, the hard work we do, the way we relate to people, but also to look for opportunities to be able to be a source of comfort and encouragement for people and opportunities to be able to even share Christ if it seems right and appropriate in the context. So I want to begin in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians toward the end, where Paul is talking about the ministry, ultimately, that he's been given as an apostle, a ministry to proclaim the gospel and to share in the glory that belongs to Christ. He had just talked about Moses and how Moses used to be able to go into the tent and he would, by God's grace, be allowed to gaze upon the glory of God the Father. And then he'd come out, the glory of God would shine on his face and he'd have a veil over his face because it was too much for people to be able to see. And Paul wants to tell us here how, really through the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the veil, that is the veil in the temple that separates us from the Holy One in the holy place, God himself, that the veil has been torn, the veil has been torn away. And what's happened is, in Jesus, we see the glory of God, but in baptism, confirmation, and life in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whose special mission it is to reveal to every human heart the glory and majesty of Christ, and to give faith, conviction, and understanding to every heart that's open to him, that what we see in Jesus, Jesus Christ risen, Jesus Christ alive, having passed from death to life, we see in the life of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, we see the glory of God that shines on a human face, Paul will say in the next chapter, in chapter 4. And it's the Holy Spirit that removes the veil. It's the Holy Spirit that allows us to see something we cannot see on our own resources and to grasp its significance and its importance. So here in verse 17 of chapter 3 said, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." The Holy Spirit lifts the veil, frees us from the blinding reality, the division, the separation that exists, and lifts it from us. And also the Spirit lifts us and frees us from the power of sin, which is, this is all connected. It's the Spirit that unites us to the action of Jesus that set us free from the powers of sin and death. Jesus' death on the cross and the shedding of his blood, this is what cleanses our conscience and frees us from the domination of sin and the guilt of sin in our lives. And Jesus breaks the power of that sin over us in his death on the cross, and the dominion that the devil is able to exercise over human minds and hearts, continuing to push and to, you might say, to pull down the veil, to make it impossible for us to be united to God and to enter into the holy place. Well, Jesus obliterated all that on the cross through the shedding of his blood. And so sin no longer has its hold on us. Sin no longer blinds us and separates us from God. So Jesus has made that pathway, and he's the one who has set us free. So as Paul is talking about how the Spirit sets us free from sin, opens up our eyes, gives us a capacity to see what we could not see on our own. Verse 18, it says, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord," beholding the glory of God, "are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." The role of the Holy Spirit in the Christian life is absolutely central. We are born again by water and the Spirit. To become Christian means to be brought from death to life through the power of the Holy Spirit, to be born again into a new life, which is a sharing in the life that belongs to Jesus, which is a life not subject to the powers of sin and death. And so it's the Holy Spirit in us that enables us now to, as Paul says, to walk by the Spirit, to live a new way of life that corresponds to the life of Jesus, which is, they use the present tense here, from we're being transformed into his likeness from one degree of glory to the next. It's happening here in this world. It's ultimately going to be fulfilled in heaven. But right here, right now, in this world, is if we walk by the Spirit, that is, we've welcomed the Spirit, we're living in a way that we're attentive to the Holy Spirit, reading the Word of God, living and receiving the sacraments on a regular basis, being fed by the power of God, by the life of God, it enables us to literally grow and into and be conformed to the image of Jesus. We're being changed into his likeness. Jesus is the one who reveals God the Father. He shows us who God is. He shows us who we're called to be. And so the whole point of the Christian life is to follow after Christ, to walk in his footsteps, and to be conformed to him, to be formed into his image. This is the whole point of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. It's what it means to be engaged in that universal call to holiness that the church reminds us so much about. That the Holy Spirit wants us to be set apart for God, just as Jesus was set apart to do the will of God. Jesus was so completely and thoroughly conscious that he belonged to the Father, and that to live meant to live according to the will of God. And so as we are conformed to the pattern of the life that's revealed to us in Jesus, where our mind, heart, will come under the lordship and direction of Jesus through the Holy Spirit, we step into the glory of God. We begin to bring glory to God by becoming everything we were meant to be and manifesting God's glory, because it's happening through God's grace. And God is the one who is glorified through it, because it's like saying, see what he's done in us? You see what he's brought about in our lives? You see how he's changing me. He's teaching me actually how to love, how to give my life in self-donation and to sacrifice, which is what we see in Paul's life, so profound. And he'll lay that out as he goes. And in the face of that, he'll speak so plainly and practically about what he's suffering as a result of walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And that echoes back, of course, to the Gospels, you know, where Jesus makes very clear, he said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. He said, in this world, the world's going to hate you. What does he mean? He means that dimension of this existence we have here on earth that is fallen, where there's this undeniable resistance to God and to the Lordship of Christ and his authority over all the human race. There's a constant pushing of the human will that's being tempted and seduced by, as John would say in his first letter, the whole world is in the power of the devil. There's a profound and deep resistance to God in this fallen and broken existence that we're a part of. And our weakness and frailty is manifested in our inability to do anything about that on our own resources. Paul will even say that the law of God, which manifests God's purpose, cannot produce in your life and mine what needs to be done for us to be able to live with a power that will allow us to enter into a new way of life that will express the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. And that only comes from the Spirit. And as we step into it more and more, Paul is saying, there, the glory of God is being revealed. It's a work of God in you. God is being glorified because you look more like his son every day. And that's what the Lord wants each of us to see about our life, your life and mine. The deepest thing going on in your life, if you've been baptized into Christ, no matter what mountains you may be climbing and massive success you might be having in your life and things you're putting your hand to, or maybe you're suffering profoundly through sickness or deep emotional struggles, pain, rejection, that whole continuum of human experience, it doesn't set us outside God's action and purpose. Even though you're suffering in this life, the Holy Spirit, if you've received him in baptism, confirmation, or turning your heart to him, he's literally leading you to be conformed to Christ and wants to take you from one degree of glory to the next. Even if you're bedridden, this is what he's doing in you. He's going to bring about in you each step of the way as he teaches you to love, even in that moment, as he teaches you how to say no to your flesh and yes to him, and to receive his will in your life each day in the simple way that you can do it. And God's glory is revealed in you in that moment. And he's going to lead you to a complete glory as he leads you into the presence of God the Father, ultimately, when we pass from this life to the next, when we share in his great victory over death. He swallowed up death in victory so that we wouldn't have to be enslaved to it, so we could pass through death and go beyond the veil and enter into the glorious presence of God the Father. That's your destiny. So beautiful. Believe it, friend. Live in it. Let God show forth his glory in you. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.